Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 2nd of May, recording at 8:57 p.m. That's British summer time. Now, first the highlights in here today, where stock markets are open, and some of them are closed in Asia still, including China. They are mostly strong, and we had Japan up a little bit here today, but more significantly, we had the banks index have a reasonable day in here today. My goodness, it needed it because it's been persistently weak. And perhaps more impressively, the Tokyo second section has been edging up for the last 6 or 7 days and bouncing from the 4,000 level where it had had some prior support, and it's obviously a psychological level. And so a little bit of an improvement there. But we've had Australia, a terrific upward dynamic in here today, pushing to, I think that might have been a new closing high. The European markets were steady to begin with and then had those gains pared back, but then picked up as Wall Street really rallied quite strongly. Now, to give you an idea, we had the Dow up, I think, as high as 117 at one stage. It's currently up 80, so it's given up some of those gains, but it's still solid in terms of performance, and the S&P is up nearly 10, and it briefly, I think it got up to 1,499, so close to that psychological 1,500 level. And in government bonds, now this is interesting because the U.S. bonds are pretty much unchanged in here today. We did see some bond market weakness in Europe today, however. And in currencies, well, the dollar is a bit mixed, slightly firmer against the euro, down a little bit against the Swiss franc, down a little bit against the Canadian dollar, and I think, can't see the yen, up a little bit against the yen. So the yen is still quite weak. Dollar has lost a bit of downside momentum here recently. And precious metals, this was quite interesting. We saw a major sell-off today and then quite a substantial bounce. So silver, for instance, on the July contract got down to 1313 and is currently at 1332. That's down 5. It had actually moved back to unchanged, but it's given up a little bit in after-hours trading. Gold also, for instance, spot gold is currently down 60 cents on the day at 672.85. It was down as low as 667.65. So as I say, they have bounced back. The weakness in precious metals was helped a bit by some softness in the oil price, which is currently down 90 cents at 63.50. And the soft commodities, a bit mixed. Sugar's up, corn's up a bit, cotton, which has been taking a beating recently, is up a little bit. Wheat down a little bit. I think coffee's down a little bit. Okay. So, where are we going overall in terms of these stock markets? Well, as you know, there are plenty of bears around, not least of the U.S. stock market on a basis of the earnings aren't all that they actually seem to be, plus the economic problems that you know all about. And then there are concerns about, as far as the high-growth economies are concerned, about the overvaluations in India, not to mention China, which is trading at bubble valuations, mainland China, that is. So a fair amount of nervousness around. And we've had many people mention that the rally's long in the tooth because it's been going on for the advance, I should say, 4 years and counting. But you weigh it all up, and the bottom line is that not all stock markets are wildly overvalued. Some are on some quite reasonable valuations still. Number of the European markets in sort of mid-teen multiples with really reasonably decent yields. And then you have some special cases, such as Thailand. Had a good day today, incidentally. Broke above some lateral resistance, which is extremely cheap on valuations. But again, you weigh it all up and you look at the trends and they remain in motion. In other words, the overall upward trends that have dominated the last 4 years are still intact for the most part, certainly as far as all the major markets are concerned, and we've seen some good action out of Wall Street here today. Again, some of these markets look a little overextended in the short term on top of that 4 year run, but I've got to say that I still don't see the conditions for anything more than a somewhat larger reaction. Last example of a somewhat larger reaction was, of course, on the 27th of February, and that extended into the first couple of days of March before markets turned around and started to move higher once again and have moved persistently higher for the most part. So what this shows is that the two all-important factors here for market performance, sentiment and liquidity, are still driving equities higher. And while that's the case, and while the overall upward trends are intact, and have not broken the progressions of rising reaction lows, then I'm content to run with these markets. So again, I don't see the catalyst here at the moment for more than somewhat sharper reactions. Again, I've said before, and I'll repeat, that I don't think they would be as sharp as the one in late February and early March. That was a mini meltdown triggered by China's 9% drop on one day. So they probably wouldn't be as sharp as that, but they could be of the same overall size and or involve a lot of sideways ranging overall to help correct some of the short-term overbought conditions. And barring dramatic acceleration on the upside, we've had some acceleration on the upside, but not enough to really look alarming. But barring dramatic acceleration on the upside, I think that the worst that we will see is these reactions that I keep mentioning. And if we become a little bit more overextended in the next couple of months, then possibly a medium-term correction. But nothing that I would panic over, nothing that I would want to disturb my long-term equity positions because of. And at this stage, I'll repeat again that I think that we have a reasonable chance of seeing the overall global uptrends continue. Well, I've said that I'm on record as saying on a number of occasions that I think it's unlikely that we will see a bear market before the 2009-2010 period. Now, all forecasts like that are a bit of a guesstimate, but I don't see the conditions right now. What would those conditions be? Spikes in long-dated government bond yields, as I've mentioned before. Now, it needs to be said that those long-dated government bond yields are near the higher side of their ranging base formations overall. Have a look at Mark Lowry's piece on this in here today. He's a little bit more optimistic about bonds than I am. He knows more about them than I do, as well. If he's right, then the chances of getting through to 2009, 2010 before we see a bear market, again at the earliest, will improve. But spikes in bond yields, which are not occurring at the moment, that would certainly be a problem. A spike in the oil price, that would certainly be a problem. Some exogenous shock to the system, we can't predict that, but would have to assess it were that to occur. Those are the factors that I would worry more about. Also keep an eye on the bank shares. They're really quite important, and if bank shares they can underperform for a while, but for instance, if we were to see some of these bank share indices, financial share indices, move down and take out their last reaction lows, that would be an amber light or two flashing very, very clearly. That would be a serious warning, but that hasn't happened yet. They are, though, underperforming at the moment. And what's bad for banks is not good for the rest of the stock market. So, again, they need to be watched. And there's something else that eludes me here at the moment that I think is relatively important. Food prices. If food prices were to take off on the upside, and I'm not talking about at the supermarket, I'm talking about the commodities, that would be another important warning. But again, I've identified what I think would be some of the problems, and oh yes, there's one more, China. I've said before that I think that China is probably now a lead indicator. So, in other words, China has become a bellwether among stock markets generally and is quite influential. That has never been the case previously. That's my view. We'll have to see whether that holds up, but it certainly held up on the 27th of February. So, those are all markets and areas that can be monitored extremely closely, and we will continue to do so, and no doubt many of you will continue to do so. And again, the uptrends are intact. Moving on to the US dollar, I'd be surprised, well, I was going to say I'd be surprised if it saw much more than a modest technical rally here. I think there's some important employment figures coming out on Friday. If they indicate a stronger U.S. economy, then we would certainly see some more short covering. And conversely, if they're a bit weak, then people will continue to worry about risks to the downside, and it wouldn't be and will hope for or expect interest rate cuts in the U.S., and that would help to keep the dollar pretty much on the floor. My own view is that we're unlikely to see more than a modest technical rally here, but the dollar is a little bit oversold on a short-term technical basis. In terms of precious metals, they're not performing in here right now. They're in these big ranging patterns. I think these patterns are really a gradual process of building up underlying support prior to additional gains on the upside. I want to be there and am, although it must be said that on my latest rollover trades, they're costing me a little bit of money right now. But it has been a sector that has performed exceptionally well over the last few years, but is not overextended on the upside in here today. And I think precious metals still represent value at these levels, so I'm content to hold those positions. For Vertigo, we have to look at a number of the industrial metal markets, but again, they remain strong, and most of them are in backwardations, indicating shortages. And we know about the phenomenal demand coming from developing Asia, developing Middle East, developing Eastern Europe, developing Central and South America, plus demand coming from the developed economies in Europe and North America, as the global economy remains synchronized in a period of overall economic expansion. That's a bullish environment for industrial commodities generally. So they'll remain volatile from time to time. But overall, it's still an extremely strong sector and still in a secular bull market. I think we also have a secular bull market in the crude oil price, as you know, and that we saw an extremely important low a few months ago down at the $50 level for the U.S. crude oil price. But I've said all along that I thought we would probably see a ranging recovery, lots more ranging than powerful moves on the upside. But I would not be surprised to see the price of crude oil move above the $70 level this year. And indeed, we saw the Brent price traded in the UK, which is probably more representative now than the West Texas crude. We saw that push up to 69 and then back off, and it's still pretty firm in here overall. So again, I think all of these industrial resources are in secular bull markets. I've been saying it for 4 or 5 years, and that they will go higher over the long term. Agricultural commodities, it depends very much on the weather. We know that global stockpiles are down in most instances, and that would increase upward momentum in the event of any crop damage or yields coming in lower than generally forecast. But there has been a certain amount of hyping of soft commodities in recent months, and I think that some of that bullish, some of those bullish possibilities have been discounted by the markets already. And therefore, if we get good crops, then prices are going to remain either in their ranging patterns or go a little bit lower. And I think that's pretty much it. Overall, the Dow closed out up just under 60, under 75. Blah, 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 blah. Start again, the Dow closed up 75.74, the S&P index 962, NASDAQ composite a respectable 26.31. That's just over 1%. All the very best.